is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours.
I'm Dan, and I despise signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. And this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Oh my gosh, are we here already?
Oh wow.
We took a week off of signed, sealed, delivered, and it just felt wrong.
Yeah, we heard your the yells across the nation.
What? Is Hello? That what they, those are the yells?
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm Bob Yell.
Bob Yell, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing good.
So I understand that you got your whole family that is
the
across
Yell
family, the country.
Yep. The yells
across the country.
The Yell clan, yep.
The Yell clan. Okay.
That's bold.
Interesting. And you guys all also yell.
Uh-huh. Collectively.
What's the point? What's the goal?
It's how we communicate.
What are you guys
trying
to...
It's not just your... is your last name have anything to do with it?
Oh, yeah. We have a long line, a story tradition of yelling.
Okay,
we're top-notch yellers.
Good.
So
we
what,
have old...
And you're very upset about... Signed, sealed, delivered.
Well, oh, yeah, you guys took a week off.
What were you trying to communicate to the whole clan?
They're not doing it this week. I'm the one who has the downloads, and I send them out to everybody.
You
down? Interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, if you send them out to everybody, couldn't you just email or however you send it? Like, hey, they're not doing it this week?
No, I send it via emails.
Right. What I'm saying is there's no point in yelling. If you can send it to them.
Where's the yell come in?
Why are you yelling it?
Well, I'm letting them know I sent the email.
Just in case it goes to the spam?
Well, sometimes. And sometimes it just gets lost.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Bob.
So
Bob, what do you mean there?
Hello, no, I'm signing off.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
It is.
It's a beautiful language. If you actually sit down and study it.
They're one of a kind.
It's beautiful. And I don't think we should just sign it off or give it pass. Whatever.
Sign it off. You get no. We'll do more later, maybe. We'll later more. You never know.
You never know.
You could seal and sign. Delivered.
Back off, please.
Get right now. Oh, I heard you call.
Bob, you there? I've been practicing.
Oh, that was good.
Thank you, Bob.
A little offensive, but it's fine.
I didn't mean it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know what you're going to say, Dan. That's funny. Dan... A lot of people have been asking me a very specific question about you.
Oh, what is it?
It's this. Are you finally coming around to Norman?
Yeah, I think that Norman has grown on me, especially in the last episode of the TV show and then the Christmas movie in particular. Mm-hmm. I think that what Norman does, and I don't think that he's grown on me because he's been... great all the time. I think they figured out how to write him. I think Jess Gustafson's been great the whole time. I think early on, they don't know how to write him. A lot of what I'm finding with the Postables is they adore this show so much and they want more movies and they are as ardent a fan base as I've ever seen, but they have some revisionist history. So what happens is they know the entire storyline. And so when we don't pick up on things that aren't available to us because we've not seen it, that is the point of contention because they love the early Norman stuff because they know what Norman is now. Well, we have to learn what Norman is now. The early stuff with Norman's weird. It is, if you've never seen it. Now, once we see all this, we will probably look back and have the same adoration with Norman that all of the Postables do because he 100% has grown on me.
Yeah.
I'm not quite there with Rita yet. I think she's easily the fourth link for me in the Postables, but Oliver and Shane are so good. And this is, guys, for all the hate that we give this show, all of us from time to time have said we didn't like stuff. Understand, we've all also said it's the best thing on Hallmark. Mm-hmm. So please don't put the cart before the horse. The best thing we've ever seen collectively, all three of us, the best thing we've ever seen on Hallmark is signed, sealed, delivered. So I don't know what higher praise we can give it. It doesn't transcend that. It's not better than, the golden age of television. Like, don't compare it to Mad Men.
Is it better than Touched by an Angel?
Yes.
When
yes,
you it's walk. The problem is Touched by an Angel had just 100 seasons, and it was 20 episodes a season. So, you know.
And Roma Downey when just crushed it.
I was going to go again.
Down the road.
Sorry. Yeah, it just Touched by an Angel was on for way too long, had too many episodes. And so this feels like the movies already feel like special events. We're watching one a week. Like, they just do. They feel like they're special events already. And that's
well, let's dive into it, shall we? Signed, sealed, delivered from Paris with love. Originally aired on June 6, 2015. It went a little something like this. The movie kicks off in an Italian restaurant with Brooke Nevin, our good pal Brooke. Hey, Brooke. Mm. She's there, wants to talk to the owner of the restaurant. It's Kevin McGeary. Whoa, what's going on here?
Hello.
And they end up getting married, I guess. So good looking out. When we pick back up with the crew, they're all there's a burnt envelope that they're all looking at. And it's to Caitlin. That's Brooke Nevin. And inside are divorce papers and a ring. How do we get from wedding to the divorce? I don't know yet. I'll tell you soon. The ring ends up flying into a letterbox.
Mail bin, not a letterbox.
A letterbox?
A letterbox, no.
It's a box of letters.
It's a giant bin that they roll around with all the mail in it. It can have packages. It can have letters.
No. But there's multiple boxes.
Yeah, it's a giant bin of mail. It's a
mailbox.
It's not a mailbox. That's what's on in front
of
residences.
It's a letterbox.
It's not a letterbox. There are more than letters in it. It's a mail bin.
It's a letterbox, though, if you actually think about the different words. And, like, just give it some
buddy, I want to help you out, but it is a mailbox.
Bin.
You get it.
Welcome to We're All Wrong. Here we go.
You get it, baby. You get it.
It's so tough to be your friend today, Stan. I try. I didn't even stand it up for you, and you still make it hard.
You were like, buddy, I hate to break it to you. It's a mailbox. That's what you said. It's not a freaking mailbox. A mailbox is a thing in front of the house.
It's in the shape of a box.
It's a mail bin. It's a mail bin. He said letterbox. I said mail bin. You came in hot with the thing.
But Panda, you are not with me. The words that you're using are all correct.
That's right. You were like, I'm not with you, but the words I said are with you. That's what you did.
I stand by everything. It's a box you put mail in. Great. Not letters, although they are included.
We're never going to finish the episode.
Anywho, the ring falls in a letterbox, and they all dump onto the ground, and they're all like, where is it? They're going through everything, and they find the ring. And also, Shane sees a letter that she thinks is the one that Oliver sent to his wife. Return to sender. She runs out. Norman pulls out a metal detector. He's still trying to find the ring. You know, he has one of those handy. Shane convinces Rita to open the letter for her because she promised Oliver that she would not open any more letters. You can't do that anymore. So this is a little workaround situation, and they're able to figure out what it says. It is indeed from Holly. And
from Oliver.
Right. It's the one for Holly. Yes. And they decide that they're going to put it back in an envelope, mail it again with Oliver's permission. But Norman accidentally sends it off into the suction. The little... that machine. You guys know the one.
No.
It's the letter suck.
Well, it's the mail suck.
Dan?
I think I'm going to go mail suck.
Thank you, Dan. This is one of those things. You're always going to take Panda's side on this.
Yeah.
So they tell Oliver that the...
No, it's a letter suck.
Dang it. So they tell Oliver that the letter went up the mail suck. And
it's a suck bin.
And Oliver's not...
We had them down at Fitzy's, and they was...
We don't need that. We don't need that, Rick. We're not getting into it. I don't want to know what type of music they play or anything.
They have one big hit. They do. You
what is it?
My pants.
Postables, I'm sorry. Here we go. Oliver's not happy. They're able to track down where Caitlin, the letter for Caitlin should go. And so they take it to the restaurant. And Kevin McGarry's there. And he's like, oh, this? Yeah, we're still married. So no need to drop this off now. You can please take it away. She doesn't know about this at all. So it'd be real big bummer. And Oliver's like, listen, we got a job to do. We got to bring it to her. That's what we do. So just tell me when she's going to be back. He's like, all right, I guess. Here we go. Shane finds a video on the internet machine of Holly doing a poem in French. And Rita is like, my hot friend Ramon is now a weatherman. He can translate it. And Norman is not pleased to have Ramon doing this because he's hot. And the poem says, basically, it's like about the night that Oliver and Holly met. And it's like, wow, is she still in love with him? What's going on here? They all go out to eat, and Norman has to watch Rita and Ramon dance. Oliver's like, don't let this happen. You got to take it. So Shane then shows back up at work by herself, and who's there? It's Holly. What?
What?
And Holly's just over there drinking a Yoo-Hoo like a monster. Everyone else shows up, including Oliver, and she tells Oliver that she's publishing a book of poems and they should have dinner later. In the meantime, Oliver tells Shane that they should go eat clams and wait for Caitlin to show up, as you do. Joey then sits down and tells him the story about why he wanted to get a divorce. Apparently, he saw some guy kissing her in a back alley. Seems pretty cut and dry. But on the way to mailing the letter, he heard someone in trouble, so he ran and he got shot. Boom.
Gunshot.
And Caitlin took real good care of him. So it's like, I can't leave now. Like, he took care of me. I got shot and she took care of me. I can't leave her. And Oliver's like, yeah, man, you know what? Do what you want with this. But I don't have it. So sorry. And then Caitlin walks in and Norman then follows and is like, I got this. You guys forgot it, you knuckleheads. And she's like, oh, what's this? Opens it up. Oh, divorce papers? Caitlin's like, you dummy, I wasn't cheating on you. I was trying to be a stand-up comedian. And the guy was just kissing me on the cheek as an atta girl.
In a back alley.
In a back alley. And he's like, I am so silly.
It was a back alley kiss cheek atta girl.
Atta girl.
I don't know what you need.
He's like, I'm silly. I'm a silly boy. And she's like, yeah, you are. All right, y'all want to hang out later? Go to the comedy club? Sounds great. Speaking of later, Oliver goes to meet his wife. And basically, they're like, let's, you know, sleep on it. We'll decide later on another next day. We'll decide about whether or not we're going to end our marriage, basically. The next day, Shane encourages him to forgive her. Bold move, Shane. While everybody goes to watch a bizarre night of stand-up comedy that we don't have the time.
Understatement of the year.
Oliver and Holly meet back up. And she reads a poem that she wrote. And he reads it to himself. We don't know what it says. They slow dance and then they kiss. So I guess, you know, that's that. Shane then walks up and sees the kiss and she's like, I can't do this anymore. Goes to the office. She decides she's going to quit. She tells Norman that he needs to make his move. And he finally says that he loves Rita. They kiss. They did it. Woo! Hey! She goes to her house and Oliver's there built a swing.
At 2 a.m.
At 2 a.m. Mm. Just like her dad made or something like that.
Something like that. Something like that. Yeah.
And basically sits down and is like, hey, we ended things. And so that's what that is. And she's like, what? And she's going to be sticking around. And I guess we're going to see what happens next. I can't wait. And that, my friends, was
signed, sealed, delivered from Paris with love.
We did it.
Yeah, do you guys want to take a quick break?
I would love to, Brian.
Yeah, I think I need to. I'm fatigued.
Will we be right back?
I think we will.
On?
Deck the Hallmark!
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
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 All right, Robin Roberts.
Robin Roberts.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
I was thinking like the Fonz.
Yeah.
Hey.
There's a distinction there.
Robin Roberts always gives us a full hey.
Hey.
She does. She's hey-o. Wonderful.
She does. Hey-o.
That's hey-o. Like a legit name drop I don't feel bad about. Like, she is wonderful.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Hey-o. Boys, you want to break this down?
I would love to.
Let's start with the hot take. Let's start with you, Panda. You're sweeping the nation here, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but this could be.
Other CCs have joined the cause, and that's just early word.
That's early word.
The one on 7th?
Not yet.
No. Well, 7th, that's a tough. That's a tricky one.
That's like if you get 7th.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the ballgame. That's the whole ballgame.
Let me know if
the whole CC 7th and 2 Corinthians are the whole ballgame.
It's the whole game.
Go ahead, Ben.
Listen, From Paris with Love continues on how much I love Sign Sealed Delivered. It's just great. It's everything you want from one of these. The letters don't even matter at this point. The story is whatever. Guy getting a divorce from his wife.
Saved by stand-up comedy.
Saved by stand-up comedy. Listen, it's not great. But who cares? Because you get all the moments you're looking for. You finally get to meet his wife. And she is, I gotta be honest with you, I loved her. Listen, she's a horrible person. She's awful. She's not the right one. But at the same time, her character is compelling. And I could see why he was attracted to her. And I could see why he liked her. Because she does... she is all of the fire and the energy that captures him, but he doesn't need that. Like, he needs somebody who is different than that. And so her character is fascinating to me. And yeah, in so many ways, I sit there and I'm just like, she's not great. But at the same time, like, I could see why he was drawn to her. And I think they do a really good job with that. This story, we finally get some progress on the Rita and Norman bit. I think they should have probably done the kiss an episode earlier.
At least.
So they dragged down a little long for me. But overall, the ending to this movie is so sweet, so wonderful. I loved it. From Paris with Love, excellent episode. Thrilling. The biggest thing I am down about and upset about, if I have one thing, is that we don't get the Sign Sealed Delivered theme song anymore from the TV show in the movies. I love that song.
Send me on my way, deliver me.
I love that song.
Dude, but you get the real deal Sign Sealed Delivered.
Yeah, but I'd rather have that song.
Whoa.
How about that for a hot take?
That is scalding.
Dude, that's going to get you 7th.
That is
ball game.
You think that's
good? That is
bold.
I love that song. Mm.
CD7th is already on call.
Already on call?
Oh, we got him. Oh, we lost him.
Oh, that's a shame. Man. Brennan Penny.
He runs the manager. He's the general manager.
In his spare time.
Old ball game.
Yeah.
Old ball game.
Both those Corinthians.
Yeah, man. This is a goodie. It's a goodie. I think this is a really weak letter.
Yeah. You think?
Really, like, just probably my least favorite because it, like...
No, build a house for the person you could have just talked to first over 10 years.
It's a really weak letter. It's a really weak letter.
It's not a great letter.
I think the thing that I was so intriguing about Holly was that, like, she is really weird. Like... Maybe weirder than Oliver.
No, they basically made someone that couldn't exist.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
So they made
this amalgam of things.
Like, I know we only got to spend a few minutes with her, but like compared to Oliver, compared to Holly, Oliver's normal.
They have to make a character that leaves her husband to go to Paris, comes back when she receives a letter 2 years later, dances sensually with him, kisses him, and then says it's over. That character is not a real person. They had to make an amalgam of things. And I'll be danged if she didn't pull it off. She does pull it off. She's wonderful. But they had to, there's a lot of buildup here. Yeah. They had to make this larger than life, can't really exist thing. And they did it. She does a great job with
it. My point is, like, oftentimes I watch Oliver and I'm like, this guy doesn't exist. But
True.
I see her and everything she does, and I'm like, man, Oliver is just a normal everyday Joe.
I thought they did a good job of making her believable enough that Oliver would have fallen in love with her.
Well, they make her charismatic.
I think that's
for sure. They make her charismatic, but this is a guy who's taking dance lessons because he thinks she left because he didn't know how to dance and didn't want to get outside the box.
But also, it's not like Oliver and Shane like make sense. Like, Shane is like...
Every one of these characters is quirky. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying they dug themselves a big hole with this woman. They did by how they portray her until we see her. And so when we see her, she has all of these things she has to carry. And she does a great job. It's yeah. not a realistic character, but she does a great job. She does a great job. And that is all they could have possibly done with it, in my opinion.
Yeah, obviously happy to see Norman Reedus. You know, it's great. Yeah, great movie. Not the best, not the worst. It's there.
I think it's the worst of the movies. I think it's worse than the movies. I mean,
it's worse than the pilot. You weren't high on the.
I think it's the pilot. But the pilot, you get this great speech about hope and faith, and that letter in Shane's pocket.
Yeah, but you get the porch. Talk's good.
Oh, come on. Shane's been carrying that letter around of her dad. Won't open it. Oliver gives that speech outside the jail or the courthouse or whatever. That's been anything in this movie. I honestly like. I think this is the worst of the three movies. In fact, I would have the two movies, and I would have the masterpiece episode, and I would probably have the 9/11 episode all ahead of this.
I think that's all accurate. I would agree with all.
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
I think that the letter that they deal with is bad, and the worst, what I've decided is the worst letters, unless they're just bad like that, gosh, that one letter was awful where he builds the house. The worst letters are the ones where they're trying so desperately to shoehorn the letter to be just like the situation that they're in. They're always going to mirror the situation, yep. right? They're always going to mirror the postables. The letter that we're dealing with, that's why we're watching the movie. The letters that we don't watch the movie on are the ones that don't mirror them. Of course, that's fine. But this feels like such a shoehorn to be like, I divorced her, but she doesn't know it. And now she has the chance 2 years later. Like, guys, like, stop banging us over the head like we're not, like, we don't have two brain cells. Like, and then also, you're wasting Brooke Nevin and Kevin McGarry, who are both wonderful, by the way, in a weird stand-up comedy plot line that doesn't make any sense at all. So many, like, contrivances in this episode. And then I'm just happy we got the wife thing out of the way, because you knew it was just going to be this thing that they had to do. And it wasn't my favorite thing in the world. I also just have a few problems with the fact that they have two things in this movie that are supposed to be misunderstandings, classic misunderstandings, but both of them aren't misunderstandings. Mm-mm. Like, that is my big issue. Like, Kevin McGarry sees his wife lie to him, go to a club, meet a man in a back alley and share a kiss. That's not a misunderstanding. You can try to make it one. Kevin McGarry should have addressed it with her. But he's right on this. Like, that's weird. And then Shane sees Oliver.
But rigatoni.
Yeah, rigatoni, tortellini, you don't understand. And then Shane sees Oliver dancing sensually with his wife, and then they kiss. Not a misunderstanding. That's not a misunderstanding. Those are real things that are happening. And so... Yeah. I just, the movie was too contrived. It was a bridge too far. But don't get me wrong, still better than most everything I watch on Hallmark.
I will say,
and I still loved a lot of what I saw. So there's that.
But this is the to play devil's advocate about the misunderstanding. While I don't think that probably should not have had this man kissing her, what I think is interesting is both of the kisses we see from behind. So. When Kevin sees it, he fills in the picture of this isn't a kiss, not on the cheek.
That's right.
This is a kiss on the lips. And the same, I think, is true with Shane. We don't see the kiss.
We don't see the kiss, but we don't need to see the kiss. We don't need to see the kiss. That dance is legit.
Yeah.
They're not going through the motions on that dance. She sees candlelight, champagne, I believe, and Oliver and his wife rekindling something. That is all she needs to see.
Yeah,
that is more than enough. That is not a misunderstanding. There is no way anyone could predict that woman looks at him and goes, yeah, we're done. In that scene.
Sure.
That's not a misunderstanding. It just isn't one. And then the Kevin McGarry thing, I'm not blaming Brooke Nevin. I'm not. Brooke Nevin lied to her husband to try to surprise him. That's a gray area. Kevin McGarry has to address her. He can't just send a ring back to divorce.
Baby.
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing? Like, go and talk to her. Mood. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, so I just found a lot of this to be contrived.
In his defense, though, they were already having troubles communicating, and so for True. Him, like, I don't think it's too far, but I agree with you. They needed to do, but like, I just.
This is what happens.
It's fine.
Leave her.
You're not wrong. I'm just saying, for me, the contrivances in this movie made it fall behind the best of what this show has offered.
We can all agree, though, like leaving her after the stand-up routine, like that would have been justified.
That would have been, as soon as you see her give that stand-up routine, you're like, I can't, with any integrity or good conscience.
You leave the divorce papers on the table and you say, sorry.
I think even Brooke Nevin would be like, I understand that. I understand where you are. And I understand why you have to
rigatoni
leave.
Tortellini.
It's funny. Can they eat a pasta that doesn't start with I? I've been saying it for years.
We're gonna take feels.
Feels. We're gonna take
a feels. Hot takes.
Yep.
Feels. Panda.
How about the porch swing at the very end?
How about the porch swing at the very end?
Porch swing.
Well, I was trying to think. I was going to say I wasn't what sure. I got stuck with porch scene or porch swing, and they are very.
In your brain, I was like, say scene.
I was like, but then I went swing.
How about that porch
swing at the end?
Swing at the end.
Yep. Just adorable. And then just super sweet. How thoughtful of just tying it all together. Man, I loved it. Beautiful.
Yeah. Porch swing.
Porch swing. I saw them live.
How was it?
It was okay. The whole scene's kind of dead in all honesty. Like, there's a lot of bands there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. I love bad stand-up and bad improv. So, like, I was here for that. Like, the whole night that they end up having, here for that. Her stand-up, here for that. I'm here for it. I loved it. I don't even really, like, I don't watch a lot of stand-up. It doesn't do a ton for me, but if it's bad, I'm here for it.
Oh, yeah, you love the cringe.
I love it. So I'm here for that.
Brooke Nevin and Kevin McGarry have a scene early when they fall in love, and I just thought their chemistry is off the charts.
Whoa.
I thought it was off the charts good. Brooke Nevin doesn't get enough work for Hallmark, in my opinion. I think she's great. And Kevin McGarry somehow looks old and young at the same time in this movie. I don't know how he pulls that off. But
it's Benjamin Button.
Not that the other four weren't great, but those two, I thought early on, I was like, I cared. And then their storyline got progressively weirder and dumber. But early on, they had a couple scenes I really enjoyed. We watched it a week ago. I forgot to write down the specific scene, but it was in there.
Let's take a quick break.
Let's do it.
We'll be right back here on Doug Dahlmer. We're back, everybody. We're talking Signs You Delivered from Paris with love. We're here with the Waywhats. Anna, what do you got?
Well, first of all, I have never thought about going into stand-up comedy before until this entire video. Guys, I want to know the crowd that is showing up here and laughing their heads off at just every point. I mean, they are losing their minds over this. And I, like...
What they do is they put him in a sensory deprivation tank for 48 hours, and they come out and they hand him like some wheat thins, and they say, have at it.
My whole thing is imagine being somebody who's like, all right, date night, I'm going to take my girl, take my loved one to the comedy club. This is going to be so fun. And you show up, and Norman gets up there, and you're like, this is weird.
This is weird.
A little bit different than I was expected. It could be like, just like, some sort of like performance art. I don't know, but it's definitely not what I expected. And you're like, oh, it's okay. He's just a warm up.
Yeah.
And then up next comes Kevin McGarry, and it's not funny at all. He's not even trying. Nope. Your night's ruined.
I wrote down, this is the kindest stand up audience of all time.
Of all time. I'm angry. I wrote down that I would be really ticked.
Like,
did you pay to cover to get in there?
Oh my gosh, I'd be irate.
Are we at the wrong place?
We came for comedy, didn't we?
Here's the thing.
How many beers have I had?
Stand-up crowds are notoriously kind. They never heckle.
They don't boo or gong you or anything. Yeah. Is this just a declaration of love? It sounds just like a declaration of love to me.
But she even sits there, and she at the very end of this evening, she goes, hey, we rekindled our relationship through stand-up comedy. And everyone's just like, funny.
Bing, bang, bong.
And I think I would be just profoundly disappointed. The only other one I have is Oliver and Holly sit down at a table for their first meeting together. And a person's pushing a cart of champagne.
Champagne cart. I have it written down.
I'm here for it, but I have some questions.
Oh, so many questions
about
the champagne cart.
First of all, is there literally, I've never seen something like this, where there's somebody pushing a champagne cart, or did they take someone else's champagne where they were just like, hey, we'd like that champagne. And they were like, well, this is going to table 12.
She literally stopped and was just stopped. And they were like, yeah, two, please.
And they handed
how is that champagne staying effervescent? That's one of my questions.
Oh yeah.
Does it cost money? How many levels of champagne are there? Are there open glasses of champagne that have a roof over their heads?
I'm
that's getting some sort of bacteria in them. I think champagne cart's a bad idea. Look, it works. Like it was like dim sum, but champagne cart.
It's wild.
I just couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe it either.
That was a big time one.
That's the only other one I had.
Shane, I don't have any. Is it Shane or is it Holly? Holly says, let's meet up again tonight at 10 p.m.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You lost your mind.
You've lost your mind. I know I want to get back together with you, but pick a reasonable hour. Well, if you think I'm getting this suit back on at 10 p.m., you've lost your marbles.
The best is she just landed. She says she's jet lagged from France. They're in Denver. So that's, I believe, an 8-hour difference or 7-hour difference. And she's like, let's meet at 10 p.m., which would be the equivalent of, I think, 5 a.m. France time.
Yeah, I'll feel fresh as a daisy.
I'll feel refreshed at 5 a.m. France time. That's how it
let's
works.
Let's just agree to meet tomorrow. 10 p.m. does nobody any good.
Ridiculous.
Nobody any good is all I'm saying. Going back to the stand-up.
So we hear about this pasta.
You guys hear about this pasta?
You guys hear about this pasta? About this
tortellini.
Rigatoni. Spaghetti?
So we get to witness.
Ravioli?
We get to witness one of the worst stand-up routines of all time.
But you guys hear about these vowels? You know,
what we also get no witness is the a text message from the promoters saying, you did amazing last night.
You were amazing last night.
No.
No, you weren't. That's the other thing. Like, that has to be about something, not comedy. We saw the comedy. That was objectively not amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no way that this comedy promoter, whatever he is, the manager, is not into her.
No way.
You don't hear that stand-up routine, text that you're amazing, and then kiss her in an alley unless you're into her.
Back alley cheek kiss. Mm. At a girl.
At a girl.
No way.
At a girl.
Not above board.
Get him next time.
Jeez. What if they live in a weird alternate universe where there is no funny stand-up comedy? And that is why, like, this is, like, it is objectively, because the other people are just up there and they're just like.
Someone watched those dailies and went, yeah. That passes.
All right.
Passes the smell test.
You ready? Panda, give us your best 30 seconds. Stand up.
We can't do this. You have to have something.
He's been swirling something around for a while.
All right.
Hey, have you guys seen dogs? They got what? Not.
Who's there?
Bow.
Bow who?
Bow wow. It's a dog.
Now, you guys hear about these cats? They're crazy. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Meow.
Meow who?
Meow, that's what I'm talking about.
That's better than mine.
It's all good. So you guys know that saying, if it falls in the forest and no one's here to
a tree, if a tree falls in the forest. If it?
You guys know what I'm talking about?
Like Pennywise the clown?
You don't know what I'm talking about. Hey, guys know about this one? So you guys know that saying, like, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's around to hear it, did it actually fall?
Did it make a sound?
Did it make a sound?
We don't question if it fell or not.
Okay, hold on. You guys know that saying, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, did it actually make a sound?
Yeah.
I was there, and it did. And it crushed just like this.
The best stand-up bit you've ever done isn't a stand-up bit, but I'm going to give you credit. It's Lemony Snicket called, you're unfortunate. But you didn't say you're unfortunate. You said something else, and Panda helped you out.
Yeah. Sounds right.
Lemony Snicket called.
Dan?
So you got the champagne cart is absolutely the biggest one in here. Norman screws this thing up six ways to sundown. The first thing he does is he gets the that
old
letter.
Give me that one more time.
He screws this thing up six ways to sundown. He gets the old letter out and he
if it's a nickel, it's a dozen. Right?
He flings the ring from.
What was that last week?
It was if it, it's 10,000 square feet. If it's a nickel.
That's 12 nickels till sundown, and I hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He flings the ring out of this envelope across into a mail bin. He accidentally remails Oliver's letter, and then
mailbox,
he shows up to Brooke Nevin and Kevin McGarry's restaurant waving the letter around. Like,
it's
it was
not
like
great.
Every time they needed a plot device, it's like, what if Norman is a goofus? That's our plot device. Like, how do we get this thing moving on? If Norman just acts normal for 10 seconds, the episode doesn't exist. Like, he literally moves the plot along every time it needs to move along. And then the ring goes into a mail bin, mailbox, letterbox, whatever you want to call it.
Thank you. Thank you for giving us.
And may I suggest to you the worst thing to do if a ring falls into a contained space is to dump the contents of that contained space into a bigger contained space.
That's true.
The ring could go rogue. It could roll. It could go anywhere. You have it in a contained space. Don't pour all of those things out. Take the letters out one by one.
Yeah, but he didn't know that it was in there.
Yeah, he watched it go in and then they dumped it out.
No. Norman didn't know.
They dumped out that bin.
Norman was in mid-dump as it fell in.
Yeah, so they saw it go in.
They saw it go in.
And then they, all of them, the postables, get that giant bin and dump all of those contents
It fell in the bin as he's getting ready to dump it
he's
out.
He's got a container.
Yes.
There's a giant bin. The bin has
He's getting ready
it.
To bump dump it
he's
down.
He's dumping down. Ring falls in between what he dumps down and other mail underneath.
Yes.
In that container, the postables then decide.
But doesn't he dump it down?
No, he doesn't dump it down. He dumps mail down. Ring flies in from across the thing. He dumps mail in. And so what happens is we have a giant container of mail, and then they know the ring is in it, and they decide
to dump that container out.
It's a multi-dump. Good. Glad. Next to the suck bin. Anyway, has Ramon always been a weatherman?
I don't know. He's not.
They establish him as a weatherman in this movie, and I feel like I must have missed something.
He has not.
And then they also rotate through, and this could be my naivete. I'll grant it. He runs through all the languages he knows, and he knows all the romance languages. And then he takes offense when Norman asks about Romanian and says that Romanian is his mother tongue. How are we supposed... The guy's name is Ramon. He speaks with a certain Latin flair. How are we supposed to know that this guy is from Romania? What would give that away? I just don't understand how that's the one he takes offense at. How dare you question my Romanian? I don't know that how that's possible. And then, that's all I got.
Mother tongue.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Saw him live.
Yeah.
How were they?
Weird. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
It's time for the mail carrier of the week, the USPS worker of the month week.
Yeah.
Who do we have?
It's Dora Penny Stencil Bangle.
Penny Stencil is her nickname?
I don't know. She sent it. Look, sent it to me. Dora Bangle, Penny Stencil. Yep. I don't know
Did
what
someone
that
nominate
means.
Her? Or?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, who do I get those from? Terry?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what's the number?
It's Postal Service 7676812.
Wow.
Oh, that's a long one.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Panda?
Dora Bangle.
Dora Penny Stencil.
Yeah, Penny Bangle. Stencil. Yeah. Let me start by saying...
as you should.
Dora Bangle. Just
Penny Stencil to her friends.
Penny Stencil to her friends. And it's interesting how she got the nickname.
I was hoping someone would.
And just to bring a little bit of clarity, you guys know what stencils are, right?
I don't. Can you?
You go, you take a little pencil and it's just a little outline.
I see.
And all she essentially made her own stencils of pennies. It's just a circle.
She didn't make that out. A stencil of a penny is just a just a circle.
You got it. She sells them.
She's crafty.
Okay.
What did she
so why is she the postal worker of the week?
Well,
she's down on her luck because she hadn't sold a dang one.
Well, I mean, I think for one, Dora Bengel, just delivering the mail for years. And then every once in a while, she'll go ahead and she'll just draw a little circle on somebody's mail using one of her stencils. And you know when you've got Dora Bengel letter.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
And, wow. And it always makes the kids smile when
Bengel's
they get one.
Bengel's been here.
Yep.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's
Penny
wild.
Penny stencil also has P.S.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's great.
Next level. Huh?
Interesting.
Interesting.
We did it, everybody. Congratulations. What a great week it's been. Until next one, we'll be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.